Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 25th, 2015. And with me today, again, just because he's that cool, I have Jim Tanis from Tech Review. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great. The ratings of the show didn't drop quite far enough, so they said bring him back for round two. Let's see if we can clear this thing out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about standards.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the lack thereof.
And speaking of standards, John Martellaro, how are you today?
I'm so good. I'm happy to be here again with Jim.
Yeah, this is really cool. I'm glad the timing worked out that we could all three do the show again today. That's really cool. Hey, what I wanted to start with today is a discussion that came up this morning during our morning meeting, and it just was so enlightening for me that I wanted to revisit it on the show today. And this totally fits in with current technology news, because last week Parallels
11
came out, and then yesterday it was Fusion 8. Is that right? Fusion 8?
Fusion 8 this morning, actually.
Oh, just this morning.
Yep.
Wow, time flies. That's right. Mm-hmm. Just this morning. So both of the virtual environments, meaning the software that you can run on your Mac that lets you run other operating systems at the same time. So like if you see someone running Windows and Mac apps at the same time on their Mac, they're using probably one of these two apps. So both of them got updates. And then the big question is, why would I want to pick one over the other? And Jim, you have some thoughts on this.
Sure. So they've been Parallels and VMware have been doing this dance for years now. Parallels was first after the Intel transition, the Intel transition for Macs. Parallels was out of the gate pretty early with their first version of their software, which, as opposed to boot camp, where you have to reboot your Mac and boot natively into a Windows volume, Parallels, as you said, Jeff, it lets you run it from within the OS X environment, so you don't need to switch back and forth. But the challenge there is in that virtualization, which is what the technology calls, as opposed to emulation, which is what we had when Macs were on PowerPC processors and we wanted to run x86 code, this is virtualization, there's still a performance hit. And so the big challenge for these two companies, for Parallels and VMware Fusion, has been getting the performance up. There's been a lot of new features, and we can talk about those, but it's really been how fast can you make it? Because the first versions, they were convenient, but they were pretty slow. And mm-hmm. with these latest versions, they've gotten to what I would say is near native performance in certain tasks. And it's really quite remarkable.
So when you say near native performance, are you saying like you can perform day-to-day functions, business apps, and maybe some more powerful apps where you're doing maybe like photo, video, and audio editing, but this is still not a full-on gaming platform?
Right. So by near native, I mean, yeah, it's for example, if you want to render a 3D image from Maxon Cinema 4D, which is their 3D rendering software, that performance is only a few single percentage points off of native, meaning if you were to run the modeling software natively in OS X or via boot camp with Windows native on the hardware, you'd get a certain number, a certain performance value. You run it in the VM, it's only a small, tiny percent less. So that stuff, the CPU stuff, they've got it down. The graphics stuff for gaming, because that's really been the big challenge for Mac owners who want a game, is even though things are better now and there's a lot more AAA titles coming to the Mac App Store, the Mac has never and probably will never be equivalent to Windows in terms of games that are made available. The number, the timing of their release, the quality of their releases, it's always going to be better on Windows. And so for someone who wants to game but only owns a Mac, they don't have a PC, this could be an option, but it's not anywhere near as close as it is in terms of CPU performance. And that's been a big area of focus for both companies. Parallels came out two versions ago. So they're on version 11 now. I think it was version 9 where they – or it might have been 10. No, it was 9. Where they introduced DirectX 10 support. Now, if you're if you know anything about Windows and gaming, DirectX 10 is old. DirectX 10 was like 2011 or something. So it's not brand new, but it opened up a new world of much more modern games that could be played. And they ran away with that. Parallels was the only one that had that. This year, finally, with VMware Fusion 8, VMware brings it to the table. And they not only match Parallels with the DirectX 10 support, they leapfrog Parallels by offering OpenGL 3.3 support. So there's a lot more going on there in terms of OpenGL-based 3D platforms, 3D games, 3D modeling software. So it's not the kind of thing where you're going to sit down and you're going to have a great experience in terms of the latest and greatest games. But if you want to play massively multiplayer online games like WoW, although I guess there's an OS X client for WoW. But if there was a game that wasn't native on OS X and you wanted to play it and it was a couple years old and you could turn the settings down, it's totally playable. It is absolutely doable in these virtual environments.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's definitely a big improvement over what we saw in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's been that way for a couple generations now, at least, like I said, with Parallels. But now, no matter which platform you choose, you're going to get that, you know, I'd call it entry-level gaming experience, where you can have fun, you're not going to get all the greatest effects, and you can't run it at the highest frame rates and resolutions, but you can play the game and you can enjoy it.
Hey, Jim, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I'm thinking about when El Capitan comes out, about running El Capitan as a virtual machine inside an El Capitan, untouched, unscathed, unmodified, unupdated, untwiddled with on my Mac, so that my day-to-day operations are in a virtual machine on El Capitan, and if I get into trouble, I can always snapshot back. Aside from Time Machine backups, which is an issue, can you think of any reason not to do that?
I can think of a lot of reasons. So
okay, I'm listening.
It does support, both products absolutely support running versions of OS X that are licensed to be virtualized. So that's everything from Lion up. Actually, well, if you go back to Leopard and Snow Leopard, if you somehow had the, at the time, much more expensive server versions of those operating systems, it can do that. But Apple doesn't let you license or virtualize older. But so Lion and up, you can run it in a virtual environment in both products. So you could run El Capitan in Yosemite. You could run El Capitan in El Capitan. You could run Lion in El Capitan. But the performance level for OS X virtualization is not as good as it is with Windows. And it's for a number of reasons. One being that the platform or the expertise isn't there. So VMware has been doing virtualization of x86 platforms for 20 years, and they've just gotten a lot better at it. Whereas OS X, it's relatively recently. Like I said, it's only from Lion, and Apple doesn't have I don't know if it's Apple not allowing or if it's just not technically possible. They don't offer any type of graphics acceleration, so it's basically when you run OS X in a virtual machine, you're running it as if you're running with like a standard SVGA video. You're not getting any 3D enhancement.
Oh, I won't have access to Metal.
Right. You're definitely not going to get Metal in the VM, but there's some speculation. They wouldn't commit to it, but VMware has told me they're working on using Metal as from the app's point of view in the host operating system to accelerate the virtual environment, but this is a brand new thing with Apple, obviously, and they can't guarantee that'll work. But it's not like you're going to pass through all of your Mac's capabilities. It's going to be a little slower. It doesn't perform as well as Windows does versus a native environment. And like I said, you're not going to get any graphics performance. In fact, some things like the Maps app in OS X, if you try to go into the 3D mode, it won't work at all because it requires a 3D accelerated graphics set, and you're not going to have that in the virtual environment. So if you wanted, what I would recommend, John, is if you want to run if you want to preserve a clean environment of OS X for testing or just to have something, you know, to fall back on, create a virtual machine and store it away, or you can clone it or make copies. And then that'll be your clean environment. And then use your Mac natively because you're going to get better performance that way. The only way I'd recommend going, or the only situation to recommend going into for the using a virtual environment of OS X is if you need to support multiple users and you want to isolate them on a single piece of physical hardware,
right.
Or if you're just doing basic stuff like basic web browsing, basic word processing.
And there is that Time Machine issue that we talked about at the beginning, whereas if you're running natively, you can do incremental backups on Time Machine. But if you're running your system inside a VM, you have to back up the whole thing.
Yes, they do make things. Right. Actually, you could, if you set your VM up for, instead of using bridge networking, for using network translation, so it's getting its own IP. You can run a Time Machine backup of your VM while the VM is running, so you can get the data in the VM. But the VM itself, you're right, is a big file, and both programs offer options to split it into 2 gigabyte segments, which to you appears as one file, but to Time Machine appears as those smaller 2 gig segments. So it's easier to backup, easier to make or to fix with changes.
Okay, so you've just waited me. I don't think that's a good plan after all.
I wouldn't, for a guy like you, John, I wouldn't recommend it.
All right, so we have these two platforms for virtualization that sound pretty similar to me. Why would I choose one over the other?
Well, if you're starting from scratch today and you've never used one or the other, they're going to be about the same cost. The difference is Parallels is moving towards a subscription model. They still offer their base package as a one-time license perpetual product, but their pro version, which has all the features, you only are able to get that through a yearly fee, a yearly subscription. Now, the benefit is you're going to get the new versions every year as they come out, as long as you keep paying. Mm-hmm. But you're stuck there. It's kind of like the Creative Cloud and the Office 365 stuff, whereas Fusion hasn't even touched that yet. They've got subscription stuff for their enterprise customers, but their consumer software, their pro software, is still a perpetually licensed product. So that's one thing to consider. The other thing is, if you really want a powerhouse VM, if you've got like one of these new Mac Pros with 12 processors and you want to create an amazing VM, Parallels, on their standard entry-level product, limits you to four CPUs and I think 8 gigs of RAM. That's the most virtual resources you can throw at a VM, mm-hmm. whereas Fusion doesn't have any of those limitations. All versions of Fusion can have up to 16 virtual processors, I think 8 terabytes of RAM, or no, I'm sorry, 64 gigabytes of RAM, 8 terabytes of storage space. So if you want a powerhouse VM, Fusion's the way to go. The other thing that's a factor for me is if you're a multi-platform user, if you use Windows and Linux as well, and you're using the equivalent of Fusion on those platforms, which is called VMware Workstation, mm-hmm. the virtual machines you create are interchangeable. So if you create a VM on your Mac and you want to take it home and do some testing or go to school and use the Linux lab, you just throw it on a thumb drive, take it in with you, plug it in, and you're up and running. Parallels has some enterprise level stuff that allows that you can use, but they don't have that. It's not a consumer level solution for Windows or Linux. So that's big for me. But in prior years, I'd say Parallels was a better choice because it generally won on the performance benchmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still testing Fusion. We're just testing it. It just came out this morning. I've been running tests all morning. So far, it looks like Fusion's going to run away with this one. Only one test so far has Fusion not been the fastest, and it was only behind by a little bit.
Wow.
So if you're starting from scratch, Fusion's probably the way to go this year.
Good to hear.
Yeah. But if you've got Parallels, because there's upgrade pricing. So if you want the latest version and you're already a Parallels customer, it's going to cost you less to go to the latest version of Parallels than to try to cross over to Fusion. So unless you need the absolute performance and you're already in the Parallels camp and your VMs are working well and you just want to make sure you got the support for the latest operating systems, I'd say stick with Parallels. And same thing on the VMware camp.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like if you're just to make sure I've got it right, if you're already invested in one or the other platform, just stick with it. But if you are new to the virtual software world and you want to have what looks like it's going to be the best performance, Fusion is probably the way to start.
Well, that's my tentative recommendation today. having not finished all the benchmarks, but thus far being pretty surprised at how well Fusion 8 is doing on our testing. And I will mention, I completely forgot till just now, Fusion actually, or VMware, is offering a cross-grade promotion where if you're running Parallels 5 or higher, they'll give you a 40% discount on the retail price, and that works out to $47.99, which is actually $2 cheaper than a Parallels customer upgrading to the latest version of Parallels. So if you did want to cross over to VMware, it's actually not going to cost you anything extra.
Yeah, but your virtual machines won't cross over, so you may have to reinstall. You will have to reinstall, rebuild your new VMs.
I believe they have a importer that converts it, although I've never had great experience with that, but that is a good point. Yes, I would recommend, even if the importer still works as they claim it does, I would recommend starting from scratch.
All right. Hey, we are pretty much out of time, but before we wrap up, I wanted, John, you to share a really awesome Apple Watch tip that you wrote up yesterday, just as a cool thing to lead out with today.
Well, you know, everybody knows that I love my Apple Watch. I woke up this morning and forgot to put it on for a bit. I had to go running back to the bedroom to grab it off the charging stand because I felt naked without my Apple Watch on. It didn't have access to the Apple stock or the temperature or the time or my calendar. So I love my Apple Watch, but one of the things that has annoyed me greatly about using it over the last few months is it seems like the sunrise and sunset time often fail and turn into dashes. And I've been kind of futzing around, you know, trying to figure out what's going on and being annoyed. So I finally did some research and I found out what setting enables it to make sure that I had the right settings right, and I did. And then you have to relaunch the iPhone. It seems like that's the right way to go. At least that's worked best for me. Because I tried doing the settings as described in the article and then started restarting the Apple Watch. And that didn't bring it back. So starting the iPhone seems to do the trick. Although if that doesn't do the trick, you still have to restart the watch.
You know, I find that very interesting and helpful. But interesting because my Fitbit One, which uses Bluetooth to talk to my iPhone, occasionally stops syncing. And the only way to get the syncing to start back up again is to restart my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something going on there. Hopefully in watchOS 2.0, that bug will be fixed and we'll always have daylight. We'll always have sunrise and sunset time available to us. It is real irritation. And it's been a popular article. I guess a lot of people are having that problem.
Well, then I'm really glad you wrote it up, so thanks for doing that.
You're welcome.
Hey, we are out of time. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. Also, totally awesome that you are here, John, so thank you.
You're welcome, and it was great to be with you again, Jim.
You too, John.
We should all hug. Hey, listeners, if you want to help us bring in the money that we use to keep shows like this on the air, when you need to buy a new Apple product, use the URL macobserver.com/Apple Store. You're going to get a special link from there that lets you make your purchases like you normally would, but then we get a little thank you kickback from Apple for directing you their way, and then we use that money to make sure that Apple Context Machine, Daily Observations, Mac Geek Gab, all the shows that we do are on the air for you. So check that out. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.